plate a potential nugget.
And in the book, you also talk about, I love the part where you refer to a scene from Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade, where Harrison Ford needs to take a leap of faith across a canyon. And you liken it to the period of transition. Say more here. How do you see the link between that scene and your research after talking to thousands of people?
There is something about the fact that the great stories of every faith involves going into the wilderness in some aspect. It's in the Hebrew Bible. It's in the Hindi tradition where you go into the forest. It's in the Buddhist tradition. It's in the Muslim tradition. Okay, it's in the story of all of the great mythologies have somebody going on a journey of some kind. And that journey in a fundamental way is leaving what's secure and safe and going into this period of lack of confidence and wilderness and transformation and fear. So if the first phase is the long goodbye where you accept it and you use rituals in some way, the next step involves taking a step and going through that process. And that brings you to the Indiana Jones scene where, let's remember, here he's in one place and there's a cliff and there appears to be no bridge. He actually has to take a step, and then the bridge appears after he takes the step. That's what it's like to go into this messy middle. And it involves two processes fundamentally. The first is to shed some habit, some way of life. Maybe it's shedding you like having a job and it's shedding that comfort of stability. Maybe it's shedding a habit that maybe you've been a people pleaser and you've stayed around something for too long and it's taken you too long to say goodbye. And you realize you have to stop trying to please your boss. Maybe you have to stop trying to live up to the expectation of your parents, that dare I say it. Okay. Maybe your parents have fed you these expectations that you must have a certain status and you must bring in a certain kind of money and you must do something that you don't want to do. And you realize, I'd rather do something that I want to do. Or maybe you have to say, I want to stop making money and I want to start giving back to society. You want to shapeshift. So you have to shed some expectation. This is the first half of what the messy middle involves. And then the second half is absolutely astonishing acts of creativity. Once you shed things from your life, you suddenly have room to try new things. Okay, maybe it's a new habit. Maybe it's a new skill. Maybe you start to paint. Maybe you start to dance. Maybe you start to sing. Like, people literally do actual things. Like, think when the pandemic happened, everyone was posting pictures about learning to bake, right? That was I may have been the only person who was not surprised by this, because even the act of baking something small is an act of reimagining. If you can imagine that you can bake something and that you can eat that, and that little act of imagining that creation allows you to imagine that you can make and bake and create your new life. And that's what happened. It begins with small steps, just like Indiana Jones, sometimes on a bridge that you don't even know is there.
Hmm. And on a related theme, Bruce, you say that transitions take longer than you think, but no longer than you need. I guess the question here is, how do we avoid the feeling of restlessness and an identity vacuum and a need for closure when we're in the messy middle? What are some of the tactical thoughts you might have for people to get comfortable taking that leap of faith and walking in the wilderness?
Well, there's the tell. There's the tell that for you, the long goodbye is difficult. It's going to be messy. It is just accepting the fact that every story ever told about change has a period of messiness in it. And I think, to me, the way I would look at it is, first of all, these are the greatest stories ever told. Why are these stories still told in every culture on the planet? Why are there pilgrimages going on right now in the lives of everybody listening to us? I don't care if you're in India, if you're in England, if you're in Japan, if you're in China, if you're in Mexico. All of these cultures have stories of pilgrimage. And what are pilgrimages fundamentally about? About leaving a comfortable place, going to an unknown and uncomfortable place, having some sort of experience, and then bringing wisdom back with you. These are the stories that cultures have been telling for 10,000 years. Kind of like what makes you think that your story is going to be simpler. It was a myth that our stories are linear and never have conflict. Okay? So the first thing is to realize that all stories do, including your story, and that half of your life is going to be spent on a pilgrimage, a journey, a trip into the wilderness of this nature. Do you want to turn off your mind and heart and soul and skill set from learning from half of your life? Are you so darn good that you can just say, I'm going to learn from the half that's stability? Look at any of these stories, and the breakthroughs occur in the wilderness. So realize that your story is fitting into a pattern that all stories have. And therefore, it is what's uncomfortable that is where the growth occurs. Think about, I mean, I'm like a lot of people in the pandemic, I've been exercising more, and I was taking a class recently, and they were talking about what is the act of actually lifting a dumbbell? It's actually tearing the muscle so that the muscle can grow back. Like, we are wired to grow by tearing and rebuilding stronger. That is how our bodies are made. And that's how our careers are made too.
Something similar came up in my conversation with Hermenia Ibarra, professor at London Business School, somebody who studied transitions for several years.
When you're making a transition, people think you go from A to B, but you don't. You go from A to this transition thing, which we call liminality in our technical jargon, to B. Mm-hmm. So in between, you're neither here nor there, and it's horrible because you lose your identity anchors. And so in that space, it behooves you to be a little bit more playful because you're neither here nor there. So that means you don't have to be consistent, and you can try, and you can talk to people about jobs you'd never consider, or you can do things that are pretty much out of character, but you know you're trying to learn something. And that can be very freeing because we don't often give ourselves permission to deviate.
There are no corporate guidelines.
No. And so the two principles are, as you said, divergent exploration and delayed commitment.
A lot of us grew up with strong identity anchors. I'm a partner in this firm. I'm a CEO here. I'm a successful entrepreneur, etc., etc. As we think about what next, we often try to hold on to our past identity anchors and look around. But the reality is that the possibilities start emerging only when we shed the past. I tell people the aperture of the opening of possibilities is inversely proportional to the speed at which we are running and the firmness with which we hold on to our past identity anchors. If this topic is of interest, I would strongly recommend Hermenia Ibarra's book, Working Identity. In our podcast conversation, we discuss some of the elements of the book. You could just go to playtopotential.com and find Hermenia Ibarra in the speakers section.